We are 6 days removed from Memorial Day, that beloved national holiday marked by service and sacrifice. Yet there was more to that day than what really met the eye. For there can be no true sacrifice without this key biblical foundational word known as obedience. From a Memorial Day perspective, belief in something and obedience to someone enlivened our fallen fighters and continues to inspire today's soldiers to accomplish a greater than life task. Reverend W. Carter Johnson, in a Christianity Today column, offered this insight. He said, in the North Pacific lies the little island of Iwo Jima. Its dry surface of volcanic ash has been likened to a landscape on the moon. For this tiny but vital piece of land, we paid the price of some 21,000 casualties in our war with Japan. For the men took it, and it was never a question of feeling of inadequacy or adequacy, courage or lack of it. He goes on to say, those soldiers took it in obedience to a command. Now, this notion of obedience doesn't just apply to soldiers on Memorial Day. It ironically also applies to all believers every day in our commitment to Jesus Christ. So let me ask you, what is this obedience and how does it apply to us, believers and followers of Jesus? Obedience is aptly defined as dutiful or submissive compliance to the commands of one in authority. Now let's quickly study the components of that definition, starting with the word dutiful. Our Christianity has much to do with duty, and duty stems from obedience. Jesus says in Luke 17:10, he says, if you merely obey me, you should not consider yourself worthy of praise, for you've simply done your duty. Lives that are godly are lived dutifully and obediently. No wonder Peter and the apostles, after being released from prison, addressed the Jewish high priest with these words that are found in Acts 5:29. They said, we must obey God rather than men. Now, I can't even imagine what the high priest was thinking at this point. He had to be thinking, there's nothing we can do to these guys. We cannot derail their faith. We cannot defame their faith because their faith is strong based on the obedience they have in this risen Savior, Jesus Christ. These people knew what obedience was. It is our duty to live obediently. The question is, do we? Do we live obediently to His word in our relationship to our Lord? In that definition, we also see two conjunctive words, words that are linked together. They are submissive compliance. These two words implore us to submit to His will and comply to His way. When this is done, we find ourselves fully yielded to His authority, the final and important word that appears in our aforementioned definition. And authority is an incredibly important word today. You see, Abraham fulfilled a dutiful and submissive compliance to the commands of God the Father in His authority. In fact, listen to these words that are found in Genesis 22:18 and 26:5. God told the obedient Abraham in these two passages, He says, your offspring will be a blessing to all the nations of the earth, all because you have obeyed me. God went on to say in Genesis 26:5, Abraham obeyed my commandments and my laws. Now this is something that's very important because Abraham always understood the authority of his heavenly Father. He didn't ever fully question it, but he fully understood it. And what that means is that Abraham lived in an obedience knowing that if he was going to follow his father, he had to obey his father, even when it wasn't easy. That is our duty. Now, while Abraham and the apostles' examples of obedience are noteworthy, nowhere can we find a greater example of obedience than the one given to us by Jesus. This was made evident in Hebrews 5, verse 8, which says, even though Jesus was God's son, He had to learn from experience what it was like to obey when obeying meant suffering. Paul said in Romans 5:19, Adam caused many to be sinners because he disobeyed God, and Christ caused many to be made acceptable to God because he obeyed. Earlier, we indicated that duty stems from obedience. And make no mistake about it, obedience stems from love. We are inclined today to be obedient to someone when we actually love that someone. It's true. And parents, if you're parents and you have kids, you'll agree with me. Because if you have kids, parents, you will notice, you will understand that part of this thing of being parents is this other thing being known as or called obedience. And let's face it, every parent wants his kid to be obedient. This is what we want. Last night, we had a rough week in our house. It was a rough week, a very rough week. And it's been a struggle. And my daughter has been grounded because she wrecked her new car 18 days after getting her driver's license. So it's been a rough week. And so what's really difficult through all this is that my daughter is the biggest Chicago Cubs fan ever. I mean, there's nobody bigger. I used to think I was. I'm not even close. Pete, you're not even in the ballpark. Pardon the pun. It is my daughter. And so last night, the Cubs were playing the Mets. It went into extra innings. I did not know this. I thought I knew everything about my daughter, but I did not know. My wife had to tell me that Jillian's favorite thing is extra innings games. I did not know this. And so anyway, so they went to extra innings, and I came upstairs, and Jillian was crying. And I said, because Jillian didn't cry, I said, what's going on? Why are you crying? And Cam said she loves extra inning games, and she can't watch it. Now, here's what was interesting about my daughter. My daughter, the TV was on. I mean, that's like torture. My wife, my terrible, no, I'm kidding, she's not bad. But she had the TV on. I had it on downstairs. And so anyway, Jillian was so obedient, listening to her parents, that her back was turned. And she would not watch the game because I had told her no Cubs games for the week. Now, let me tell you something. As a kid, I'm not sure I would have done that. I would have snuck a TV or radio somewhere. But I will tell you, Jillian, that your obedience pleased your parents. Thus, the reason we lifted your punishment last night. Yahoo! Yeah! Obedience is everything, folks. It's everything. And if we are going to live for our Lord, then we're going to be obedient to His word. It's what we do. It's what we're called to do. It's how we live dutifully. It's how we comply and live submissively. And this is what God wants us to do. He wants us to be obedient to His word. So, parents, if you have children, parents, you will teach obedience. This is what you do. And when it happens, you will be pleased. And I want to tell you, when we are obedient to God, He is pleased. And when the church is obedient to God, the church is pleased, and it will grow, and it will thrive, and it will flourish because we truly understand the power of being obedient to Jesus. So let me ask you a very important question, and folks, I can't ask you a more important question. Do you love God and His Son? Do you love God and His Son? And the reason I ask is this, because if a child loves his parent or her parents or their parents, they will live in obedience. And if you truly love God and His Son, you'll live in obedience. This is how you will know how much you love Him, is if you are obedient to Him. Do you love God and His Son? If we love them, we'll obey them. Jesus says in John 14, 23 and 24, I will only reveal myself to those who love me and obey me. The Father will love them too, and we will come to them and live with them. Anyone who doesn't obey me, says Jesus, doesn't love me. In John 15, 14, he goes on to say, you are my friends if you obey me. Now, I don't know about you, but I want to be friends with Jesus. I don't know about you, but I want a deep and strong, I want a very, very strong relationship with Jesus. Are we dutiful to His works? Where are our hearts? And how strong is this love? W.A. Whitehouse claims that there is an appropriate trust and obedience among the members of the Christian household and the Christian church, and it manifests in its own way the obedience which lies at the heart of Christian existence. So we ask ourselves this again today. Are we dutiful to His works, submissive and compliant to His will, and yielded in His authority to His way? On this Communion Sunday, we see, according to our sermon text, which we are about to read, which comes from Luke 22, 7 through 22, that the disciples were fully obedient as believers to their Savior. In fact, we're soon going to see that Jesus gave commands and actually used dutiful words such as sent, follow, prepare, share, and eat. And because they loved him, they dutifully, submissively, and compliantly did all of them. Let our Holy Communion service today remind us that if we truly love Jesus, we will choose to obey Jesus. Let's read Luke 22, 7 through 22, our sermon text on this Holy Communion Sunday. Now the day of the Passover celebration arrived when the Passover lamb was killed and eaten with the unleavened bread. Jesus sent Peter and John ahead to find a place to prepare their Passover meal. Where do you want us to go? They asked. And he replied, as soon as you enter Jerusalem, you'll see a man walking along carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house he enters. And say to the man who lives there, our teacher says for you to show us the guest room where we can eat the Passover meal with his disciples. He will take you upstairs to a large room all ready for us. That is the place. Go ahead and prepare the meal there. They went off to the city. They found everything just as Jesus had said and prepared the Passover supper. Then Jesus and the others arrived and at the proper time all sat down together at the table. And he said, I have looked forward to this hour with deep longing, anxious to eat this Passover meal with you before my suffering begins. For I tell you now that I won't eat it again until what it represents has occurred in the kingdom of God. And he took a glass of wine, and when he had given thanks for it, he said, take this and share it among yourselves. For I will not drink wine again until the kingdom of God has come. Then he took a loaf of bread, and when he had thanked God for it, he broke it apart and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, given for you. Eat it in remembrance of me. After supper, he gave them another glass of wine, saying, this wine is a token of God's new agreement to save you, an agreement sealed with the blood I shall pour out to purchase back your souls. But here at this table, sitting among us, as a friend, is the man who will betray me. I must die. It is part of God's plan, but oh, the horror awaiting that man who betrays me. Judas betrayed Jesus, which meant that he acted disobediently. From disobedience comes consequence, and the word horror in verse 22 probably best describes this. Walter B. Knight shares a story, gives us an example. He says this, he says, is there a greater care than parental care? Is there a greater sorrow than parental sorrow? A watchful, dutiful mother looked out the window on the snow-covered driveway. She saw her 7-year-old son, Danny, sled into the street. She called him into the house and reprimanded him, saying, I've told you never to sled into the street. You will have to stay in the house the rest of the day. Throughout the day, Danny heard the laughter of happy neighborhood children as they romped and sledded in the snow. When the day was almost gone, Danny pleaded, can I go out now, Mom? Mother relented. She bundled it up warmly as Danny dashed toward the door. Mother warned, remember what I told you about going into the street. Stay in the yard. They were the last words Danny ever heard his mother speak. 5 minutes later, Danny was dead, crushed by a car when he sledded into that very same street. Obedience could have saved Danny's life. Obedience to God and Jesus, because we love God and Jesus, can not only impact our lives, can not only enhance our lives, but ultimately will save our lives. From obedience to Jesus comes the very thing that he exemplified, which is forgiveness. In Matthew 6, 14 and 15, Jesus says, your heavenly Father will forgive you if you forgive those that sin against you. But if you refuse to forgive them, he will not forgive you. Folks, we cannot approach this sacrament without being fully obedient to this important command. In Christian obedience, let us take the time today to forgive our fellow man and ask Jesus in silent prayer that we're going to have right here today to forgive us of all of our sins. If you wish to come to the altar to do this, you may. As part of our communion service, which we do 6 times a year, where we dedicate an entire service to this, I can tell you this is one of my favorite times, because it is a time, if you wish to approach the altar, you can. If you wish to remain in your pew, you can. But it's a time where we can go before our Lord and we in contrition and confession can confess our sins and also learn to better forgive man of the sins that he's committed against us. And we all need to do this. And so today, we offer a time of silent prayer. If you want to come to the altar, you can. If you want to remain in your pew, you can do that as well. A time of silent prayer, a time to seek forgiveness, and a time to offer forgiveness. Let us go before the Lord silently now. Our Heavenly Father, you hear these prayers. The silence to you is deafening. Voices calling out in silent prayer, asking for forgiveness, seeking to be forgiven for the sins that we've committed against you, and asking that you would open our hearts to forgive our fellow man for what he or she has done against us. You are the author of forgiveness. And I pray today that we will trust in you and this book that teaches us how to truly, truly be forgiving and how we can truly and totally be forgiven. I thank you for this time that we have, a time where we are reminded of what Jesus has done for us and what he did for us and how he died for us. And I pray today that you would help us to fully understand what this sacrifice is and what it was. And I pray today that as we empathize with Jesus' pain and his suffering, I also pray that you would help us to be rejoicing, knowing that we have eternal life. And today I pray that you would help us to seek this opportunity to live for you and to live with him. Thank you for everything that Jesus has done, Father, and we thank you for this time that we have not only to worship you, but to partake of the elements and to partake of this sacrament known as Holy Communion that's dedicated to you. Thank you for this time. Thank you for this time of conviction offered through the Holy Spirit's power, and I pray that we will truly and wholeheartedly seek forgiveness and forgive our fellow man. We thank you for everything. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. These words of John come from Jesus in Revelation 3, verse 20. He says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come to him and eat with him and he with me." Let us pray together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. All of us that truly and earnestly repent of our sins, that forgive and love our neighbors and long to lead a new life following the holy commandments of God and the salvation that's offered through our risen Savior Jesus Christ, will today with faith take this holy sacrament and make our humble confession to Almighty God. We praise our Heavenly Father for the opportunity to recount everything that His Son had to do and everything that He endured. Let's stand and sing hymn number 460, a song that we sing every time we have Holy Communion, and that is "Let Us Break Bread Together." Number 460. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for what you gave us. The mere fact that every single person in this church today is confident and knowledgeable of this thing called eternal life because your Son, Jesus Christ, gave us the perfect sacrifice and gave his life on that cross. And I pray today that we will embrace this opportunity not only to believe in you, but to love you and obey you. And I pray today that you will prepare us for our next life. This life is short, it's brief, and I pray that we will never put more priority over it into it than what awaits us in heaven. And I ask today that you would help us to remember in your sovereign authority that you have prepared for us a place in heaven. Thank you for this opportunity today, not only to recount what Jesus had to endure, and it's a small portion of what Jesus had to endure. It reminds us of what we're called to endure. And so I thank you for Holy Communion, and I thank you for the opportunity today to reconnect with Jesus and to literally feel ourselves near that cross. I pray today that you'll be with those who are not well. I pray that you'll help Chris. I know he's in pain, and I know there are struggles, and I know that he is going to need your help, and I pray that you'll be with him. I thank you for being with Rob, and I thank you for the answered prayers that continue to abound from that family. I thank you for being with our beloved Jessica, and I thank you for the beacon of light that this young lady is. It's a miracle. I am grateful for every way that you impact our lives. For those who are sick and struggling, be with them, pray, and bless them. And I ask today that you would continue to lift us up and help us to better serve you. There are ministry opportunities all around us. It's in our home, it's in our workplace, in our schools, wherever it's at, help us to fulfill that role. Be with our missionaries, we pray. Strengthen them, empower them, and let them know they're never alone, that this little church out in the country continues and will continue to support them and pray for them and give to them. I thank you for this time of worship that you have given us, and now we give more to you. Help us, I pray, as we sing this final song, to pour out our song to you in thanksgiving and praise. And thank you for this time of worship that we have. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. If I asked everybody here today and I said, do you love Jesus? You'd say, yeah, we love Jesus. Of course we love Jesus. Seemingly, if we asked everybody, they would probably say somehow, some way, unless they're an atheist, that they love Jesus. But the question today is this. If we love Jesus, are we willing to be obedient to Jesus? And to be obedient to Jesus, we got to be obedient to his word. And that means we got to know it, and we got to live it, and we got to love it. That's our goal today, because that's God's goal for us today. Praise God for his word. It is powerful. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you for what Jesus did, and I thank you for teaching us about obedience, because he did. I thank you for his willingness to sacrifice. It's beyond our comprehension, especially for those of us who have children. The mere fact that we would put one of our children up on a cross to die for our fellow man, and yet you did it. And you did it because you love us. And so because you love us, I pray that we will love you, and I pray that we will be obedient to you. I thank you for this reminder today. I thank you for Holy Communion. We treasure it. And I thank you, and I pray that you will help us and go with us and keep us safe in all that we do. Bless the event that will be happening downstairs in a short amount of time. I pray that you will bless the food, the drink, fellowship, everything that happens. I pray that you'll bless everyone that attends. It's in Jesus' holy name that we pray. Amen. Have a great week, everyone.